worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a moment, but we invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Verses 1 through 12, Proverbs chapter 3. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidance, the grace, the direction that flows to our lives as we read and study your word. Lord, thank you for the salvation that you provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the fact that Christ is the greatest gift the world has ever received, the greatest Christmas gift, the greatest gift, period, the world has ever received. Lord, as we continue to progress through this Christmas and Advent season, Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to aggressively be the church you call us to be, carrying the gospel to the world, standing for truth, and supporting the church that is persecuted throughout the world as well in our prayers and otherwise as well. And help us to be all that you've called us to be as the Church of Jesus Christ in the world today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our in-studio guest today is Teddy James, and Teddy is the editor of Engage Magazine. And in just a moment, he's going to tell you a little bit more about what Engage is about, but also we're going to be talking today about a special project Engage has underway. So, Teddy, thanks for joining us here on the Hour of Intercession.
It's always a pleasure, Pastor Joseph. I appreciate it.
All right, TJ, as we start, if you would go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit more about Engage and how Engage got started, and then we'll talk about the campaign as well.
Sure. So a couple years ago, my first child was due, my four-year-old now daughter, and you know I had absolutely no idea how to be a dad, right? I was still learning how to be a husband. I've been married for about 3 years, and you know, so many questions. And so I went to the great theologian Google and said, okay, what do I need to know about being a dad? And there were a couple of things that I was looking for as far as answers to my questions. And one of the criteria, I only had two criteria. One was that it had to be based in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so it had to, you know, very plainly, this is what Scripture says. And then the second thing was that it had to be easily applicable. And by that, I don't mean that it was easy to do, but that it was easy to see how this applies. And, you know, as I looked out across the vast landscape of the internet, I couldn't find anything that met those two criteria. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was just kind of this influx of millennials that came in to work for AFA at the time. And we were all sitting around talking about it, and we realized we were all doing the exact same thing.
Well, let me jump in. Define millennials for our listeners.
Sure.
Some may know and some may not. So
so a millennial this year is between roughly 18 and 35. Okay. And so, you know, just that kind of that stage of life where you're starting college, starting your career, young families. And so just kind of that age group where we're learning what it means to be an adult. Mm-hmm. And as we were going through, we found we were all asking very similar questions. It was really difficult for us to find answers in our heart language. And so we decided, you know what, rather than wait around for somebody else to create a resource, let's take the platform that God has given us at AFA and let's do it ourselves. Let's do the research. Let's do the work. Let's put the prayer into it. And so we worked for about 2 years before we ever launched Engage, and we did a lot of prayer, a lot of work on the back end, and then we launched Engage, and it's been live for about a year and a half now.
Okay. So that's both an online magazine and a broadcast then.
Yes, sir. So we are we're online. We're engagemagazine.net. We also have all the social media platforms where we engage with our people. We have a radio program that airs at 5:30 on Saturday afternoons. We also have an annual magazine physical that goes out. And so if you want that, you can let us know at engagefaq@afa.net and we'll send it right out.
Okay, and you said basically ages 18 to 35 would fall in the category.
Yeah, that's our target demographic. And, you know, what I say is this. We're a millennial in presentation, meaning we use, you know, we talk in a way that's going to be very attractive to millennials. But what we're doing is we're talking about the gospel and the application of the gospel, which is applicable to anyone in any time in any generation.
Okay. Okay. Now, if someone doesn't fall in that age category, but they feel like a millennial, are you willing to let them?
Absolutely. We have no age test, you know, to enter the site or anything like that. You know, we welcome your involvement in on Engage.
Okay. Okay, then. And you're involved, Engage is involved now with something called the Orange Letter Campaign. Tell our listeners what this campaign is about.
So it's a bit of a long story. To go into the history of it, I also, my full-time job here at AFA is writing for the AFA Journal. Mm-hmm. That's what I was brought on to do. That's what I continue to do. And last year, in November, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And that goes in the first week of November of every year. Last year, I was researching an article for the persecution or for the prayer for the persecution church, persecuted church. And I read a book called Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe by a guy named Tom Doyle. Mm-hmm. And the book was so powerful that I reached out to Tom and said, hey, I want to interview you for this article. So we did the interview. It went off really well. And at the end of it, he said, you know, what would be really cool, what if we were able to find a group of persecuted Christians and all the Christians in America could send letters and we could deliver them? And so we started kind of talking and planning, and it was just like this really cool idea. And in February of 2015, if you remember, there were 21 Christians that were marched out on a beach in Libya, and they were killed by ISIS. Mm-hmm. And ISIS had dressed them up in these orange jumpsuits. And the video they released across social media was supposed to instill fear into the heart of Christians across the world. And what it did was Christians started wearing orange in solidarity with these martyrs. Mm-hmm. And Tom said, hey, we have a connection with the family members of these martyrs. How would you guys feel if we used those people? And that's who we sent the letters to, were these surviving family members. And we said, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So last year, we were able to send over 2,000 letters to these mm-hmm. family members. And just, you know, just words of encouragement and prayer and scripture to these families. And so that happened last year. We were able to send 2,000 letters. Well, this year, we're focusing on the country of Syria. If you know anything about Syria, you know, the Arab Spring in 2011, civil war started in the country, and it has been embroiled in war ever since. And so what we're doing this year is we have partnered with some pastors in Syria, some above ground churches, some underground churches. They're going to sneak across the border of Syria into another country. And we can't say where, we can't say when, but that's going to happen in the future. And our partners are actually going to hand deliver the letters that we write this week, and they're going to deliver them to these pastors. Okay. And then they're going to smuggle them back into the country and distribute them to all their churches.
So the letters would go just basically Christians under persecution in the nation of Syria.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. Okay. And a really just amazing story of how, you know, God has just been involved with this from the very beginning. But there's a church here in America that is an Arab-speaking church. Mm-hmm. We can't say where, again, for security reasons, but they are actually going to be receiving the letters, and they're going to translate them into the heart language of the Syrians. And so, you know, so they're going to, we are going to write them in English, obviously, but we're not using software to translate these letters. Instead, we're using real people to make sure that the meaning and the heart behind the letter is translated correctly.
Okay. So if someone wants to learn more about this and get involved mm-hmm. to write letters, then where do they need to go?
Sure. So you can go to engagemagazine.net. We've got articles up. If you check out our Facebook page, which you can just go on and search Engage Magazine. It's a big, bright orange logo. Engage changes to the color of orange to stand in solidarity with the persecuted. But you can, there's articles, there's videos on there. If you just want to send the letter, you don't want to go to any website, you just want to send an email, it's orange@afa.net. orange@afa.net is where you can send the letter.
Okay, then. And also now, as far as people that are listening now, of course, we're talking about writing letters to believers that literally are more or less, well, basically putting their lives on the line.
Absolutely.
And being believers in a basically Muslim nation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. This, you know, Syria is basically divided into three different factions. And where those factions are changes from week to week. But you have the government side, right? So al-Assad is the dictator. He was overthrown in 2011. He's been trying to get power back ever since. So there's the rebels who stand against al-Assad. They're fighting. Now, they're also Muslims. And then ISIS also has a front there. So you've got three major factions that's fighting in the land of Syria. And none of them are very friendly to Christians. All of them are persecuting Christians. So no matter where the Christian turns, they're faced with persecution, no matter who they're under. And so it can very easily be a discouraging place for these Christians, which is why our encouragement is so necessary.
Mm. Now, is the U.S. backing one of these particular factions?
The U.S. is, the problem is there's no real good guys in this fight. America is backing a faction. Russia is backing a faction, a different faction. And so it's just this really complicated, really messy situation that, to be honest with you, I don't even fully understand. And there are people who study international politics for their career, and they don't fully understand what all is going on. All we know is it's really messed up out there, and it's really violent, and we need to be praying. We definitely need to be praying for the Christians in Syria, but we need to be praying for the country as a whole,
right,
as well.
Okay. Well, TJ, would you take time now, specifically lift up the church there and just whatever's on your heart to pray for them about, and for the church outside of Syria to really be joining them in prayer as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Father God, we come before you, and God, we recognize that we are lifting up a country that God, that knows no peace. Father God, from one day to the next, there is bombing after bombing, shooting after shooting, act of violence after act of violence. And Father God, we know that you are the God of peace.
Yes.
We know that you have not forsaken that land. We know that your presence is there. And Father God, we ask that you would make your presence known and felt among the people. Father, we especially lift up the believers right now. God,
yes,
we pray that you would make yourself known, God. Glorify your name in their lives, in their victories, Father. We pray that you offer them opportunities to share your word, to share your love and your grace and your patience and your peace with the people that surround them, even those that are hostile against the gospel. Father God, you are no stranger to hostility. You are no stranger to persecution, for you have walked with your church through the persecution throughout the last two centuries. And Father God, we just pray that you would continue to be there, God. Give strength where it is needed. Give wisdom, give guidance, Father. And God, we lift up our church here and across the world, Father, that we would stand as one body together with those who are experiencing persecution, not just in Syria, but across the world. God, we pray that we would continually have them on our heart, as your word says in Hebrews 13:3, God, that we would look at those in prison as though we are in prison. We would look on those as suffering as though we are suffering. And Father God, give us a heart for these believers, for these brothers and sisters in Christ, Father. Give us a heart that loves them, that lifts them up, and that seeks ways to serve and encourage them. It's in your name. Amen.
And Father, I do thank you and I praise you, Father, for your sovereignty over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world, in particular for those that are in Syria and other nations where the church is under persecution. Lord, pour out your spirit of comfort, grace, and strength mightily upon the church. Help them just to draw closer to you and to lean upon you. But help us and in the church outside of those immediate regions, Lord, help us to remember to pray much for our brothers and sisters under persecution, and help us to be discerning of other ways we can be supportive along with praying for them, and help us to do what we can, such as get involved with a project like the Orange Letter Campaign. Thank you for the chance to do something to help our brothers and sisters in Christ in these places. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio or supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Let me say this from the beginning. Anytime God is calling us to do something that we don't want to do, He has to get stern with us before we'll ever move. Whatever that looks like and however that plays out, one thing is certain. God will never force you to do anything. Think about it. In terms of your personal relationships, you don't want a relationship with someone because they feel obligated. You want a relationship with them because they want to be in one. It's the same way with the Father. He wants sons and daughters who want a love relationship with Him above obedience. We don't obey because we have to. We obey because we get to and we want to. Choose to join Him in the work of saving the lost because we love Him and we are devoted to Him. He'll never force you, but He'll definitely compel you to come. Choose wisely, my friend. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
For unto us a child is born,
unto a son is given unto us born.
Unto us a child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
Unto us a son.
Music of BB and CC Winans, the song For Unto Us. Praise God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have in studio with us Teddy James, the editor of Engage Magazine, and we're talking today about the Orange Letter Campaign. Before we get further into that, I want to remind our listeners, if you haven't made it your business to really begin to take time to read through the Christmas narratives. And remember, narrative is just a fancy word for story, but the traditional Christmas stories are found within the Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And reading all the way through them will bless you and encourage you, greatly strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. And also, if you do that, you're going to learn things about Christmas that you did not know. Now, you might think, well, how can you say that? Trust me, you will, because there's a lot more to the Christmas story than often people will take the time to really go through. So if you'll do that, take time to do that with your family as well as yourself, and it will bless you and encourage you. And also, I hope that amongst other things, it will stir you to become much more active in sharing the gospel and in the matter of discipling others as well. Because remember, that's what Christmas ultimately is about. Jesus came to bring salvation and spiritual growth for those in the world that desperately needed to come to know the only Savior the world has, Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll take time to do that during this Christmas season. Let me remind you also that for each of you, too, remember, we shared yesterday, and we're going to share this once again. If you want to share with us, I have one question I want to lay before you. There are a couple books from past guests we had. One is entitled Jonah Had a Whale of a Time. That was by J.J. Jasper. And the other one was a book entitled Hell's Been a Moment from Eternity by Angie Camp. The first two people that either text me or send by way of the chat room or Cherbin, again, the answer to the question. The question is, what chapter amongst the Christmas story chapters do you find the story of the wise men, the magi? Again, what chapter? Either text it to me at this number, 662-321-5859. Again, 662-321-5859. Or send it, the answer to that, in the chat room or the Cherbin. Again, send the answer, and the first two people will get one or of these two books. Again, Jonah Had a Whale of a Time by J.J. Jasper, or Hell's Been a Moment from Eternity. Let me go ahead and ask you, TJ, if you'll answer. We had a question in the chat room. Someone went on the website and had a chance to look at the website and wanted to know about the conference that Engage has coming up.
Yeah, so we have the Engage Worldview Conference. This is something brand new that we're doing. We're going to make this an annual thing. So every year we're going to have a brand new conference, and each conference is going to have its own theme. So this year the theme is Created to Reflect, and we're using Genesis chapter or one verse. I can't remember the citation, but it says that God created man in his own image, and his own image he created them. Mm-hmm. And so what we're talking about there is basically it is a celebration of what God created in sexuality. In so many things in this world and in our culture especially, what we're hearing is simply it's Genesis 1, 27. Sorry, I had a moment there, but what we hear in culture all the time is a perversion of what God created in sexuality. And we also hear a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding of what the biblical role of gender and sex and sexual identity, all these different things, what they are and what God created. And there's a beauty and a depth to these things that we miss because we don't bother to celebrate them. So what we're going to do on Engage is we're going to spend an entire weekend where we celebrate it and where we study and say, okay, what is the worldview issue here? To help us out, we have Alex McFarland, who is a regular on American Family Radio, co-host Exploring the Word. He's on several different programs. But we also have Sean McDowell. He's going to be our headline speaker as well. And so we're going to have several breakout sessions. Will and Miki Addison are going to be breakout leaders, along with myself, a local pastor, and then another Engage writer, Kendra White. We're going to have Flame, C. Micah, and several different artists that are going to come in and do a concert for us on Friday night. So it's going to be a full weekend. It's going to be a great time. So.
Okay, and the dates one more time?
I'm sorry, I didn't even mention that. It's March 17th and 18th of next year. And the price is super cheap. If you go to engagemagazine.net/conference right now and register, we have an early bird special. So check it out, engagemagazine.net, and then at the very top you'll see conference. You can just click that.
Okay, all righty then. Okay, TJ, as we continue to talk about the Orange Letter Campaign, I wanted to ask if you'd share, you know, as you did devotion a few days ago, you shared a couple of very powerful stories Would you share those with our listeners?
Yeah, so there's a couple of stories here. One is recounted in the book that I mentioned in the previous segment by Tom Doyle, Killing Christians, Where It's Not Living the Faith, Where It's Not Safe to Believe. And it's a story of this really small underground church in Syria. And so what happened is there's this pastor, underground church, and they keep in this really back alley, this small hole in the walls where they meet, where they fellowship, where they worship. And so they just said, they got together and said, okay, the borders to Syria are about to close. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to each individually decide where it is that whether we're going to go or whether we're going to stay. And so the pastor said, well, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and we're going to fast and see individually whether any of us will stay or whether we will all go. And so they left. They separated, went their separate ways for 7 days. They prayed, they fasted. At the end of the week, the pastor came back. He went down the back alley. He stood outside of the door, and he started hearing voices, and he was really afraid that the church had been found out. And he decided, you know what? If my congregation is going to die, I'm going to die with them. And so he walked through the door with courage, and to find out that their small congregation of 10 people had over doubled, and there's now 25 people in this room, mm-hmm. all of them believers. They'd been converted during the week. And so each of them had prayed and fasted individually, mm-hmm. and all of them had decided, we're staying. Mm-hmm. We're going to stay in Syria. We will present the gospel at every opportunity.
And they were basically prepared to die.
Right. They said, if we die, we die. Mm-hmm. And so these 25 people said, all right, well, if we're going to stay, we need to prepare for the inevitable. So a few blocks over, there was an empty plot of land. Mm-hmm. And they pulled their money together. They purchased that land and said, this will be our graveyard. As we die, one by one, mm-hmm. we will bury each other in this plot of land. Now, mm-hmm. I talked to Tom Doyle, and he said that he had talked to the pastor of this church just a few days prior. The story happened in 2013. Mm-hmm. The graveyard is still empty.
So not a single one of them have died yet.
But there again, they are presenting the gospel. They are being vocal. God's hand of protection is just on them. Mm-hmm. And so it's an incredible, but there again, it reveals the reality that these Christians are living under, because mm-hmm. they realize they could very easily die for their faith.
That's right.
Just an incredible, incredible experience. Now, there again, if you want to offer encouragement to these Christians, your letters, in fact, the pastor of that church will be one of those that sneak across the border and meet with our partners in a few months. So if you want to encourage them, send a letter into orange@afa.net, orange@afa.net. Your letter is going to be translated, and then it's going to be sent hand-delivered to pastors like the one of that very small church in Syria. So you can do that. Send that into orange@afa.net. And by the way, don't think you're limited to just one letter. You can write multiple letters. In fact, I encourage you, write more than one. So in one letter, you could just really focus in on the prayer that you're praying for them. In another letter, you could say, here's all the scripture that I'm praying over you right now. In another letter, send as many letters, as many ideas as you can. What they're going to do is they're going to print multiple copies of your letter to go to the different churches and different believers. So, but just to let you know the impact of a hand-delivered letter. Last year, we sent letters to the surviving family members of those 21 martyrs that were killed in Libya. Mm-hmm. Well, amazingly, when they hand-delivered these letters, there was one mother. Now, when they did it, they put it into a box, they put a bow on it, and they handed it to the family members. Well, they... This mother, or wife and mother of children who were now without a father, and she was now without her husband, mm-hmm. grabbed the letters and clutched them to her chest. And she said, I didn't know anybody even knew that my husband was killed. Mm-hmm. She grabbed these things and held them to her heart. And it was such an encouragement to her. And that's what we have an opportunity to do here to do today. And the thing is, we look at... It's so easy for us to look at events like this and to think, why did God not rescue these men? Mm-hmm. Right? It's easy for us to stand in judgment of God and say, God, how can you let the persecution of your children go on? We only see one small image. God sees the whole picture. That's right. And there's a story now. Now, this is all, you know, kind of secondary and third, you know, I heard from a herd from a herd. But there are stories that there were actually 20 Christians that were marched out onto that beach. Mm-hmm. They killed each one, one by one. Mm-hmm. And then the last guy, they got to him, and he said, they asked him about his faith, and he said, their God is my God. Mm-hmm. So the story is he was converted there on the beach after witnessing the faith of these 20 martyrs. Mm-hmm. So we never know the impact that that perseverance through persecution will have. But it brings God glory, and it honors his name when we stand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are powerful stories, TJ. Let's take time to pray one more time here. Father, thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty over all of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. And thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be able to live and take a stand for our faith, Lord. Lord, I pray that you pour out your spirit of courage and grace and boldness upon the church today. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you desire that we stand boldly for you no matter where we are, whether we're in a church that's under serious persecution or a church where literally believers are dying for their faith, or even in a place where people aren't necessarily dying, but you're just wanting your church to be bold, to stand and be a clear and a powerful witness, even in a difficult, dark place. Lord, help us to know that wherever we are, you desire that we're bold witnesses for the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, to do our part to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ in our homes, in our communities, on the job, in places, wherever we might be. Help us to know, Lord, that you desire the witness of your people to be faithful and bold. Thank you for that opportunity. And help us to remember to continue to pray for those in persecuted nations. And Lord, there's so many nations where the church is either under persecution or believers are literally being slaughtered every single day. Help us to not ever forget them. And Lord, raise up more and more ministries like Voice of the Martyrs and other ministries that are really supporting and of encouragement to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of persecution. We thank you and praise you for the chance to reach out to them. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, TJ, tell our listeners one more time, if they want to get involved with the campaign, tell them again, how do they do that?
Absolutely. So all you have to do is send in a letter to orange@afa.net, orange, the color orange at afa.net. And what's going to happen is your letter is going to be translated by a church here, by a congregation here in America, that speaks Arabic, that Arabic is their heart language. And so they're going to take your English letter and they're going to translate it into Arabic, and then it's going to be hand-delivered to churches across the nation of Syria. You know, and just to let you know, you'd mentioned Voice of the Martyrs. There's a great organization, that's actually led and founded by Tom Doyle, vice president of E3, and also the guy who, you know, really helped kick all this thing off. It's called 838. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Facebook, type in facebook.com/8, and then write out 30, and then the number 8 again, so 838. And what you get there, he shares stories from the persecuted Christians from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the last few months, he's been really focusing in on Syria. But there was an update just a few weeks ago. In fact, it was last week, where he just shared a prayer request. And he said, hey, there's this guy, his son's leg was hurt in an explosion. Pray for this family. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, so got an update a few days later. Hey, the leg was saved and surgery went well. So thank you for your prayer. So you can actually get up to the minute updates about what's happening to the underground church in Syria by following 838 on Facebook.
Mm. Okay. And so the name of Tom Doyle's ministry is 838.
Then. Yeah. Well, it's another ministry that he does, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay then. Okay.
So yeah, definitely check it out. It's worth it.
Okay, then. And tell our listeners once again to get in touch with any, well, we'll pick that up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Y Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. We tackle news, current events, cultural trends, and phenomenons from a Christian worldview perspective. Why? Because we're looking for insights into culture that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Charmaine. If I could start my life over again, I would stay as far away from drugs as I could get. I came running to Teen Challenge, and it changed my life.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
In Matthew 11:28, Jesus promises to give us rest. But Dr. Tony Evans says it takes an action on our part before that benefit affects our burdens. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I was going through the airport one day and I had suitcases in both hands. And I'm carrying suitcases in both hands and somebody said to me, "Don't those cases have wheels?" I'm walking, carrying, sweating, rushing, all that. And somebody said, don't they have wheels? Why are you carrying that burden? I put them down, pulled the handles up. The weight of the cases never changed, but my burden became light. They were as heavy as they ever were, but I didn't feel the weight of them like I was feeling them because they had something built in that changed the nature of how they could be handled. God is saying, I've got something built in for your weariness and weight of life that if you let me do it for as long as you have to deal with the case anyway, I can put wheels on that thing so it doesn't weigh what it used to weigh. My burden is light. Wheels for you to deal with the realities of life. God's guarantee is not that there will be no problems. His guarantee is that he will change their weight. They won't be that heavy. And it'll be tailor-made with your name on it.
Discover how you can lose the load of pain and guilt you've been carrying around. Check out Tony's 6-part teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted. Available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Come.
The music of Babbie Mason, the song Comfort and Joy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I want to go ahead and try to answer another question. TJ, if you'll respond, someone else asked a question about the conference. They're asking, I guess, about streaming.
Yeah, so a lot of people actually are asking us if we're going to be able to stream the Engage Worldview conference this year. We're not going to be able to stream all of it. Part of that is because the way that we have it structured is we have our two keynotes, and then we have four breakouts, and they're all happening at the same time. So be very difficult to to stream four breakouts. However, one thing we are talking about live streaming is at the end of the conference. You know, one of the things that I've always wanted to do at a conference is ask presenters questions. And so I've always wanted to, you know, to have that ability. And so when we were deciding and planning our conference, we said, okay, this is one thing that we certainly have to include. And that's a Q&A time with all of the presenters. So you can come to the conference, listen to all the presentations. And if you have a question at any point, what we have is we're going to have a Twitter set up, a hashtag, and if you'll use this hashtag, you will be asking a question, and at the end of the day, we're going to have a live panel with all of our presenters up on stage, and we're going to have a moderator there, and he's going to ask questions of the people on the stage, so they're not going to be prepped for these questions, all right? They're going to catch everybody on stage, and I'm on the stage, so it's not going to be fun for us, but hopefully it'll be really beneficial for the listeners. And so that we are talking about live streaming. And that way, even if you just want to come in for that, you can, you know, live stream it, tweet us questions. We're also going to take questions from the audience as well live. So, but we won't be live streaming the entire event, but we're hoping to be able to live stream the last Q&A, which will last for about 30 to 45 minutes.
Okay, so part of it will be live streaming, but not all of it. Okay, then. They might have just asked that question to say, if it's a legitimate millennial event, they have to live stream part of it. So,
well, you know, we had discussed that, but at the same time, we feel that there's something very beneficial about actually being there engaging with the people that are there with you. And so for that, primarily for that reason, we decided we did not want to live stream everything. But the Q&A, we felt was a little bit different. And we wanted as much engagement as possible from as many people as possible. And so we decided we're going to try, and we can't promise that it's going to work out, but we're going to try to make that happen.
Okay. So. All right. Thanks, TJ. Let me just go ahead and mention, too, we do have a couple winners of the books here. Elise on Afrika TV got the answer correct. Again, the correct answer, of course, is Matthew chapter 2. Elise from Afrika TV, and then Sean Jones in The Cherubim. Got the correct answer. So both of them will be getting a copy of the book. One will receive Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, and the other one by J.J. Jasper, and the other one, Hell's Been a Moment from Eternity by Angie Camp. But thank you all. We do need you to go ahead and either text to us or email to us the your mailing address, because if you don't do that, we cannot get you your book. So please be sure and get your address to us as well. But thanks for responding to those. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, very fitting for our topic for today, because it's in that chapter that, of course, you find the story of the Magi. And this is one more reason why it's so good to take time to read and meditate on all the Christmas narratives, because there's so many different sides of life that the Christmas story really encompasses. You have the Magi, who are wise men that came from the East. Remember, they're Persian. They're not Jewish, but they come looking for the King of the Jews. Why? Because they're walking in close fellowship with God, and therefore they knew what the star meant. The star was pointing them to the King of the Jews, and also they realized he wasn't just King of the Jews, he was King of the universe as well, and they came to worship him. Well, of course, when they get there, Herod and Jerusalem, they're troubled. And of course, as you find out, Herod wants to find out more about the new king because he's wanting to destroy that king. And of course, the wise men find him, but they don't cooperate with Herod, and Herod is very upset. And so as you read chapter 2, you find out extreme persecution because Herod decides, well, if I can't get the king just by himself, I'm going to do all I can to still try to get him. He had all the children, all the boys, 2 years old and younger, slaughtered in the city of Bethlehem. And so it was a time of great mourning. But again, you find an early picture of the persecution of God's people. Again, persecution against Christ and the cause of Christ. And so persecution is not new. It's been around a long time. The devil is still trying to be destroyed. He continues to try to destroy the people of God, those living for God. So persecution is a tragedy, But again, it's a very real reality in our world. So let's continue to pray much for the church, and and especially in persecuted lands and nations of the world. Well, TJ, in this last segment of our broadcast, would you share further too? Now, again, as the editor of the Engage magazine, what would you say has been some of the most challenging things you have had to deal with as you really tried to more specifically minister to the segment of our population that is known as millennials? What would you say would be some of the biggest challenges you've run into?
Oh, boy, how much time do we have? No, you know, a couple of things is everything that we write on Engage, we want it to be beneficial. And what that means is that sometimes what we write is not always easy. And so, you know, we've had to tackle a couple of really difficult topics. One such topic, one of our writers experienced a miscarriage, and so she, you know, she wrote about that, and it was so heartbreaking, but also cathartic for her to write about that. But also it was heartbreaking to read and to edit that. You know, and other things, we in the audiences that we deal with, there's really two sides to everything, to every audience. And one side of our audience is extremely gracious, extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, they give us really encouraging comments and really great engagement. But then you do have the other side that are very antagonistic to the faith. But I'll say this, they're beneficial to us because they challenge us in brand new ways. So, you know, we get a lot of emails, we get a lot of messages on Facebook, a few comments here and there of people who are very antagonistic to the faith. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've done from the very beginning on Engage is if you've taken the time to write a comment to us, we're going to comment back. We're going to, you know, if it's something, you know, just like we like the article, we're just going to like that comment. But if you have a question, if you have something that we feel needs a response, we're going to respond to you in a just as quickly as we can. Mm-hmm. And so to that end, you know, my job never really stops. I'm constantly, even now, you know, I'm on my Facebook or on Engage's Facebook. I'm watching, I'm always looking to see if someone's commenting, because we want to do that engagement. Mm-hmm. And it's a double-edged sword, you know, so sometimes mm-hmm. it's great and sometimes it's, yeah, it's challenging. But mm-hmm. my thing is this, it's an opportunity to present the gospel.
Right, right. Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Well, one more quick question I want to just share, too. You know, one thing that seems to be very true of many millennials is lots of young men and young women who fall in the category of being millennials are postponing marriage. Mm-hmm. That's a huge issue. What if someone just said they wanted to learn more about the whys behind that or people's thoughts behind that? What would you have to say to that issue?
So I'd say a couple of things. One, Engage actually did this. We hit this topic head on. We did an entire campaign called The Heart of Marriage, mm-hmm. Where we ran a whole week of articles talking about the issue of marriage. We had people who had been married for a couple of years. Myself, I'm married I have three kids. We had a few people who were engaged. We had a few people who were single, and everybody wrote about marriage from their perspective. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of the people in there were, I think, would be classified how you just posed the question, in that they're putting marriage off. The fact is, they're not intentionally putting marriage off. They just God's not revealed to them who they're to marry yet. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that there's a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. So as far as Engage, if you'll go to Engage, there's a little search icon there. Click that search icon and just type in marriage. Mm-hmm. You're going to see all of the different things that we have written. Two articles in particular that we've written that I'm really proud of is called What Makes a Man Makes a Husband and What Makes a Woman Makes a Wife. Mm-hmm. And it's things that you can do while you're single to prepare to be a good spouse. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to ministering to those who are single, I would just say this. A lot of times people are still single because they do have a high view of marriage. We've seen divorce wreck families our entire lives. I don't know anybody in my age group who has not been touched by divorce, either by their friend has been divorced, divorce has happened somewhere in their family. Divorce is everywhere. And so what they're saying is, rather than getting married early when I'm immature and not sure about marriage, I'm going to wait till I'm really mature and really ready. Mm-hmm. Not saying that's the best approach, but I mean, it's, you know, it's the idea of, I don't want to divorce so I don't So I want to put off marriage. I think it is a good thing in the sense that it is a high view of marriage. I also think that it can lead to a low view of yourself, which means you don't think you can make a relationship successful. The fact is, you can't make a relationship successful. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You have to rely on God for that. So I think as far as the churches go, we need to be discipling and training men and women to be men and women of God. Then in light of that, say, now, here's how you prepare for marriage. So, but also, you know, never lose sight of the fact that life does not begin at marriage.
That's right. That's right. share the website one more time.
It's engagemagazine.net. And if you want to send your letter to persecuted Christians in Syria, you can send that email to orange@afa.net.
All right. TJ, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's always a pleasure, Pastor Joseph.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Engage Magazine. And thank you for the work TJ and others working with him are doing. And Lord, thank you for just the opportunity to reach out to not just this segment of the population, but to the world as they share the truth of God's word through the magazine and through the broadcast as well. Lord, anoint this ministry with a fresh anointing. Prosper the work of their hands as they reach out strategically and with wisdom and grace to really reach out to so many, many of which don't recognize a need to come to know Jesus as Lord and save their lives, many of which who find themselves in a difficult time at a unique time of pressure in our history. But Lord, help us to know, Lord, that all of us, as we're vibrantly and vitally involved in the work of evangelism and discipleship, are instruments you can use to do a wonderful work, drawing people off the road to hell, on the road to heaven. Help us to be about our Father's business every day. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again, TJ, for being with us today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.